certainly thankful for Brother Don's prayer on given on our behalf, and would ask that you would continue to pray. You know, God's power is effectual, and that's why I pray that God would bless you and bless myself, that his power would be demonstrated in the change that needs to come about, not only in us, but in the Lord's people throughout the land, those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to begin to read a verse that I've quoted many, many times, but if the Lord would bless this morning, we're going to look at it in a little more depth. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." You know, it's easy to quote that verse and to talk about it over and over, but let's think about what the verse says to begin with. You know, trust is something that is very much a part of our lives every day. Between our spouses, our friends, our children. When trust is broken, and it so often is in the world in which we live, things are never the same. Things are never the same. To trust someone means to have great confidence, abundant confidence in someone. To rely upon someone, honestly, to believe in them. Speaking of our spouses, most of us, at least for a majority of our life, we have a tendency to believe what they tell us. They're not lying to us. They're not being dishonest with us. We even believe that to be the case with such people as Brother Don when he's our legal representative. And as a lawyer, it is to confide in someone. It is to have that trust to believe that whatever you tell them will not be broken. But this verse speaks of trust, and I believe it is a reliance, it is a confidence that you and I need to have a greater understanding about. It says trust in the Lord. Why would we want to trust in the Lord? Why would we want to trust in the Lord? Why not trust in ourselves? And we'll look at that as we go along, but what does it mean to trust in the Lord, and why would we trust in the Lord? I talked about his omnipotent power. That's the number one reason that we would want to trust in the Lord to begin with, because he has the power to deliver. God had the power to create the heavens and the earth. We're told in Romans chapter 13 that all power is of God. We're told in the 13th chapter in the first verse, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." No matter how much strength and power you seem to have, you can rest assured that power and strength was given to you and ordained to you by the Almighty God of heaven, our Father, which art in heaven. That's why you have power or strength for whatever it is you do, or anybody else in this world. All the power in this world is subject to the Lord our God. You know, he tells us over in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." You and I, in the sight of God, are reputed as nothing. He'll do it according to his will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" How many people do you know in life that question the sovereignty of God, that question God's power? You know, why shouldn't we trust in God? Because, first of all, he has all power in heaven and earth. You know, not only did he create you and I in the beginning in a natural sense and breathe life into our nostrils when we became living souls, we've walked and lived and upon the earth all the days that we've lived because of the sustaining power of Almighty God, the omnipotent power of God. That in itself should lead us to trust in our God. We know that if we're a child of God, we know that if the Spirit of God dwells within us, that we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That literally means someone had to create you. Your spiritual life is something created within you. It's not something that you obtained on your own or you decided to go out and grab a hold of one day. It was by the almighty, determinate power of God, the sovereign power of God. He moved upon you at his will. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there is none that can stay his hand or question him, say unto him, "What doest thou?" So we see one reason we ought to trust God is because God has all power in heaven and earth. All power that be or that are, that is subject to the power of Almighty God. Second of all, we should trust in God. We should trust in God because He's omniscient, meaning He has all knowledge. You know, the Bible tells me that God doesn't change. We're told in Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're not consumed because God does not change. We're told in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in the 8th verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, if God changed, He wouldn't be God. That's what differentiates God and us. We are beings that are constantly changing. Just look in the mirror. Look at a picture 20 years ago and tell me you're not changing. Yeah, there's change going on about you that you have no control over. You can't even stop it. You have nothing to do with it. We're all changing. We live in the boundaries of time, and we do change. We'll look at that in just a minute. But the God that we serve never changes. That in itself ought to give us a great deal of trust in the Lord God of heaven. He doesn't change His mind. That's one reason trust is so often broken among men and women. Relationships of every kind are broken because there's a lack of honesty and truth. We change our mind. We don't like something the person is doing. Therefore, we no longer trust them, nor do we love them, or do we believe in them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's omnipotent. He has all knowledge. You know, the Lord knows what you're doing today. He knows what you'll be doing tomorrow. This is a mystery to you and I, but we're told in Isaiah chapter 46 that He declared the end from the beginning. When God set time in motion, that very moment He set the end. No man knoweth the day, the hour, the moment, the time. We don't know that. But I tell you, God does. And He knows of every act that took place between the time He set time in motion and the time that He will fold up this work as we know it and call all His people and gather them into heaven. That is the time. He declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times for things that have not yet been done, saying, my counsel will stand, I will do all my pleasure. Not only did He set the beginning, did He establish the end, but He knows everything that took place. He knows, He has knowledge of past, present, and future. He knows the thoughts that you're going to think 10 minutes from now. Did you know that? That's the omniscient power of our God. You know, I don't know your thoughts. I don't know how you feel about the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, but I can rest assured to tell you today that God knows every thought that crosses your mind. He knows that if you're in communion and fellowship with Him, He knows if you love Him, He knows if the world has taken your mind and drifted away from Him. God knows that. You may fool everyone else, but the Lord knows. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to worship and serve Him, the Lord knows it. I may not know it, your husband and wife may not know it, your children may not know it, your friends may not know it, but God Almighty knows it. All things are naked and open before the one whom we have to do with, that being the Lord our God. All things are naked and open. There's not anything that we can hide from Almighty God. Should we not trust in the Lord? He knows your every thought. He knows if you're here for the right purpose today and you have the right desire in your heart. He knows that. I may not know it. Your brother may not know it, your sister may not know it, but rest assured, God Almighty knows it. And He is the one that we're coming to worship and bowing down and honoring and hopefully glorifying. We should trust in the Lord because of His omnipotent power. We should trust in the Lord because of His omniscience, His knowledge. He has all knowledge in heaven and earth. Let's notice what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Read a couple of verses and we'll move on. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Do you realize that time began with you when you were born and time will end with you when you die? You know, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's coming a day that you ain't going to change. You're not going to get any older. You're not going to have any tears. You're not going to have any sorrows. And you're never going to die. Change will be ended in your life. But in the habitations that God set, the boundaries of time, change goes on and on and on. And that's why it's hard at times for you and I to trust one another. Because we're changing all the time. And a lot of times we lose our focus in life. He goes on, he says, We talk about this God that's everywhere present. We're going to look at that. Not in His sovereignty, He is everywhere. He's nowhere absent. He's everywhere present. God fills the universe. Bible tells us that your hairs on your head are numbered. If you have any left, even those hairs are numbered. You know, He knows. He knows the very number of hairs on our head when we were born and the very number of hairs that are on your head today. The Lord God Almighty knows that. It's not a mystery to Him. He's not sitting around wondering. He knows it because He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. Jesus said in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, that's a promise that ought to cause us to trust in the Lord, should it not? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How often in this life have you needed help from whatever trial or whatever difficulty that you went through in your life? Have you needed help? Have you needed the help that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you? He knows because He has all knowledge and He's everywhere present. He's a very present help. God is our refuge, you're told in Psalms 46:1. Our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help. He's not somebody we got to dial up on the phone and hope they come by in a couple hours or a couple days or a couple of weeks. God Almighty answers our prayer when we call upon Him immediately. He's everywhere present. He hears our cries because He has all knowledge. He knows your plight in life. He knows the feelings of your infirmities. He knows the trouble that you have. He knows if you've been taken away, carried away from the truth. He knows all things. He has all knowledge and He has all power. And He's everywhere present. Notice as it continues in Acts 17. It says, talks about our habitation, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You know, sometimes the Lord seems like He's at a great distance, but I can assure you we're the ones at the great distance. We're the ones who have separated ourselves from the Lord. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee. He's there. It's you and I who are taken away by the things of this world. We're the ones that forsake the Lord. The Lord never has forsaken us. The Bible even tells us it's possible that your mother and your father might forsake you. But the Lord will never forsake you. The Lord will take you up. That's a promise that you and I can rest upon all the days of our life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Very interesting here. There's a need to trust in God in everything in our life. When you can't trust in the closest friends you have, the closest relationships you have in this natural life, there is one in heaven that you can always trust on. One who has all power, one who never changes, one who knows the feelings of your infirmities. He knows the difficulties you're going through. No one else may know those things. They may be things that you tell the Lord on your bed late at night, but He knows. He knows what troubles you. He knows the feelings of your infirmities because He's everywhere present and He has that knowledge. He has the knowledge of your difficulties. He knows what lies ahead in our life. That second verse in Proverbs 3 chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Keep that in mind, in all thy ways. I think this is something that we fail to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means fill your heart with the Lord. I've thought so much about this verse. How often do you think about Jesus Christ throughout the day, honestly? Do you consider the Lord when you get up? Do you stop what you're doing in the middle of the day for a moment and say, Lord, thank You for Your provisions up to this point, for Your safekeeping? Do you fill your heart with the Lord? The Bible says if we're going to trust Him like we should, we need to fill our hearts with Him. Acknowledge Him in all things. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in your job. Acknowledge Him in your family. Acknowledge Him in every aspect of life, not just in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as creatures of habit, if you're like me, have a tendency to go through the week and through the day of the week not acknowledging God to the degree that I should. Maybe that's why I don't trust God. You know, I heard it said one time, I was listening to a man preach, and he said he believed everyone in the congregation believed in God. They just didn't believe what he said. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. I believe y'all all believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But do you honestly trust Him and believe what he said. We're told in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Do you believe that? Do we honestly believe what God said? Sometimes we don't trust God because we don't believe God. Oh yeah, we believe that there's a better place and he's going to deliver us there. But do we believe that God is in the midst of us today? That God has an effect in our lives on a daily basis? Are we trusting in the Lord day in and day out in our life for all our provisions, for all our needs? You know, what if you lose your job tomorrow? You do trust that the Lord will make a way, make a path? He'll take care of you? Or are you trusting in yourself? We're going to go there in just a moment. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That word lean means to hold yourself up, to support oneself. You know, it's like an older person or even a younger person, if they put their hands down and they hold themselves up. You know, there are many of God's people throughout the course of history, and I believe even today, are leaning on their own understanding. They're supporting themselves with their own knowledge and their own understanding. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go to some verses in a minute that'll tell you you've taken the wrong path and you're doing the wrong thing. Are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you trying to hold yourself up by your own strength or by the Lord's strength? You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Not weaken me, but strengthen me. Paul knew where his strength came from. Do you know where your strength is? Do you know who to call upon? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Or do you trust in your wife or your husband or your neighbor or the philosopher down the road? Who do you trust in? Do you trust in God Almighty? I'm telling you right now, trust in the Lord with all thine heart is an important verse in the Bible. And lean not to your own understanding. Try not to hold yourself up. Support your own self. Let's go now, and for time's sake, I want to move to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I believe this idea of trust is going to be brought to light in a great way. We're going to begin, and I'm going to read through some verses, and we'll go back and expound on those verses. We're told in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in a desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As we end those verses of reading right there, we've heard the ninth verse, the last verse, quoted so many times. But do you know that that verse tells us right there that when we are trusting in ourselves, we don't understand the deception of our own hearts. There is one in heaven that understands us, but oftentimes you and I don't even realize how deceived we are. The heart is deceitful above all things. Remember back in the Garden of Eden when Eve looked at that fruit that God forbid her to eat, her and Adam both? She said it was pleasant to the eyes, desirable. Is that not where we are in life so often? Are not things out here in the world that we ought not to have our eyes on, pleasant to our eyes, desirable to our lust and our desires? Friends, we're no different than any human beings could have ever been. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But let's go back in verse 5. It says, cursed, thus saith the Lord. Now it's extremely important. When God says something and it's thus saith the Lord, and all the words of the Bible are under the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But we need to pay attention. He said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's not only other men, that's yourself. You're a man. That's generic for man or woman. When you put your trust in yourself, when you're trying to uphold yourself, you're not trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. You're trusting in yourself. He goes on and he says, cursed be. That means that word has the presence of separation. That's what that word really means right there. The man who trusts in man or in himself is separating himself from God. He goes on and he says, and maketh flesh his arm. That, in other words, he's dependent upon his own strength and not the strength of the Lord. Paul said, what I do, I can do through the strength of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's as good today as it was when Paul said it. It's no different today than when Paul said it. But it says here, cursed be the man, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and trusts in himself. He says, and maketh flesh his arm. He's living off of his own strength. And it goes on and it says, whose heart departeth from the Lord? Whose heart departeth from the Lord? That tells me that this is a child of God. This man's heart was right with the Lord. And we're going to look at an example of that just before we close here in just a few minutes. This is a man who is a child of God and something in his life. He began to trust in other things and not the Lord. And his heart departed from the Lord. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far removed. They do all the lip service. They show up and they say, oh, I love the Lord and the Lord is the greatest thing in my life. But you know, as I said a while ago, due to the sovereignty of God, he knows whether you're telling the truth or not. Is God in the midst of your lives? Do you trust in the Lord with all thine heart? I don't know that. Only you can answer that question. But I'll tell you, there's one in heaven who sits upon the throne in glory that knows and understands that about each and every one of us. Cursed be the man that trusteth in the man and makes his arm, the flesh of his arm, his strength, and his heart departs. Notice what, now he's going to give us a definition of what that man's life will eventually be like. You see, a lot of people think, well, lightning don't strike me, hit me down, God's not dealing with me. But I'm going to tell you, thus saith the Lord, God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that the immutability of God, it's impossible for God to lie. And because things don't happen to you and I in a matter of seconds, sometimes we don't believe that God cares. We don't believe that it matters, but it does. Because God never made a promise that he didn't keep. God never broke a promise. That's why we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's why we ought to wrap Jesus Christ up in our minds and our thoughts and our hearts in every part of our lives. In all thy ways, acknowledge him in everything. When you're traveling, when you're speaking, whatever your job is, Jesus Christ ought to be a part of that. It's something that we need to make a habit of in our lives, I believe. Because so often we're trying to lean or support ourselves with our own understanding. He goes on here and he talks about the person that's trusting in a man. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. That's a little plant that doesn't grow much. And it's just sitting out there surviving. You and I rarely see it because we don't venture out into the desert. Now, God has a miraculous way of taking nature and giving us an analogy of how it is with a man in life. And this is exactly what he's doing. This is the man that's cursed because he's trusting in man. He shall be as a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. Have you ever seen folks that have drifted away from the Lord over the course of time? And even when something good happens in their life, they don't seem to be aware of it. They no longer can see the good because they're trusting in themselves. Their arm has become their own strength. They no longer trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. They're not leaning upon the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. They're leaning upon their own strength. And our strength won't take us very far. It won't take us very far at all, brothers and sisters. He will not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness. You know, it doesn't literally mean you're going to drift out into the desert in southwest Texas. If you've ever been down to Fort Davis or Alpine or anywhere down in there, this is the kind of territory we're talking about here. Like living out there in a land by yourself where you couldn't see another man for days, possibly. Went down there one time and I came through Terralingua and we stopped at the Border Patrol station and I asked him what Terralingua Ranch was down there. And he said, oh, that's a place where people go to disappear. And he was honest. If you want to get off the grid and disappear from mankind, that's where you go. What kind of life would that be for the child of God? To live in the world, among people, and yet be as an individual in a parched land. Goes on to say, in a salt land and not inhabited. You know, where salt gets on the land too much, where it's too strong, whether it be by fertilizer or by water, it's jippy. It'll get to where it won't grow nothing. In that same trip that I'm telling you about, I went from Pecos, Texas, down to Ballymurray. About 40 or 50 miles of land just as flat as it is here, and nothing. There's old concrete ditches. There's sprinklers out there that are no longer running. It looked like everybody packed their bags on a Sunday afternoon and hightailed it sometime in the past, and I believe they did. The land would no longer grow. What happened? They pumped so much salt water on the land, it wouldn't grow a crop. This is the kind of land that this individual will be in when he begins to trust in himself. He'll be a someone. He'll be a loner. He'll drift away. He won't be surrounded by brothers and sisters and friends and those folks. You can tell it when someone gets in this condition. This is not my words. This is thus saith the Lord. This is thus saith the Lord. This is what happens when we begin to put our trust in ourselves or in another man or in this world. We find these things happen when our heart departs from the Lord. We go to verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Not whose hope is in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. In other words, these two illustrations deal with the ups and downs of life. I don't care who you are here in your journey in this life. You're going to be in the valley part of the time, and sometimes you're going to be on the mountaintops. When we're on the mountaintops, a lot of times when we got married, we're on the mountaintop rejoicing. When our children were born into the world, we were rejoicing. We were having great times. When things were going smooth, it's like the times when our boat is sailing upon a calm sea, such calmness that it almost looks like a mirror. But you know, life doesn't stay that way all the time. The winds blow, the winds howl, and the storms come. We all have trials. We all have afflictions. I tell you, it's a sad day for that man out in the desert land when the afflictions of life come, whatever they might be. But this man, his rivers talk about it. In Psalms 1, it talks about the river where the tree was planted. The rivers represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe here it represents the man that trusts in the Lord with all his heart. That God is everything. He acknowledges him in all his ways and every part of his life, day in and day out. He wakes up with the Lord. He goes to bed with the Lord. You know, sometimes you might say, well, Brother Kenny, that's just too much of the Lord. But you can never get too much of the Lord. The Lord has all wisdom. A wise man will hear, and he will learn. A man of understanding will seek wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we ought to be. It ought to be a part of our lives every day. Lord, what will thou have me to do? When Paul went down the road to Damascus, what was the first question he asked the Lord when the Lord struck him down? Lord, who art thou, and what will thou have me to do? That's what we ought to ask every day. Lord, what would you have me to do today? How would you have me to react to this situation and this circumstance? When this person cut me off in traffic, when this person done this or said these things about me, what would you have me to do? The Sermon on the Mount tells us that we're to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good unto them that hate us, and to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we may be the children of our Heavenly Father. In other words, that we may represent Him, may be an example of Him to everyone that we meet in this life. Are you like that tree by the river? It says, and it shall not see when the heat comes. The heat's coming, and that's the storm that's coming to your life and mine. I preached on that message last year sometime up in Psalms 1, and I used an analogy. We all live here, and we've lived here a number of years, and thunderstorms and tornadoes and hurricanes have always come, have they not? Some are far more devastating than others, but they've never stopped coming. In your natural life, those storms will never stop coming. Do you close your eyes in death and go home to be with the Lord? Are your roots spread out in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is your trust in Him, or is it in yourself, or is it in someone else in this life? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Is the Lord your hope? Is the Lord your only hope? Are you trusting in the Lord? It goes on and it says, shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, the drought is not going to affect this tree who spread its roots out by the river. It's going to continue, as it says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is a deep-rooted tree. This is somebody that's deep-rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone, as it says in Psalm 1, does meditate upon His word both day and night, He's a part of their lives. You know, it's so easy to get distracted in life, to make other things more important than the Lord. But I believe there's something in this country that is vastly needed. A trust in God Almighty, not a trust in the U.S. government. Look what we got. Do you trust them? We trust that God will take the man that is elected, and that He will mold that man into the leader that you and I need. That's the only thing we can pray and hope for. But to trust in them is not much trust, and likely we're to break our trust with them before very long. They don't keep their word. They don't tell us the truth to begin with half the time, but we got one in heaven that we can believe, that we can trust, that's still in control, that still sits upon the throne in glory. There's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is the God whom you and I serve. Friends, are you trusting in the Lord with all thine heart? Are you leaning to your understanding? Are you trying to hold yourself up? Are you being held up by the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to go over in the book of Kings and read some verses, and we'll close here in just a few moments. I believe it's the third chapter, beginning in the sixth verse. I'm going to read a number of verses, and we're going to talk about a man who has, there's a lot to be said about his heart. And we're going to look at the conclusion. This doesn't make it a good thing, but this is a picture of where we've all been and the things that can come in our lives. You know, a lot of people don't believe that if I don't follow God's commandments and I don't try to live according to God, it'll make any difference. But friends, I'm here to tell you, it makes a difference. It may not show up today or tomorrow, but it'll show up. And Solomon said, as he was talking to the Lord and praying, "Thou showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him the great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father." This is Solomon speaking. "And I am but a child. I know not how to go out or to come in." The first of all, we see a man here who goes to the Lord in great humility. He knew that he had no abilities to be king over Israel. He knew that his dad was a great man. He knew his dad was the man that was spoken of in the Bible whose heart, who was after God's heart, the only man spoken of in that matter. As he prays on, he says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father me," says. In verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for a multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." What was he praying for there? He wasn't praying, "Lord, let me stand upon my own strength according to my own understanding," was he? He said, "Lord, give me an understanding heart. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." To your own understanding. That's what so often we do. We understand very little in this world. We don't understand each other, much less what's going on. Solomon said, "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" He didn't know what he's going to do. This is a man who truly was praying for God's help in something that he didn't know how he was going to handle. Young man going to take over as king and rule over all this great multitude of people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked him this thing. "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." We ought to be leaning upon the understanding of God. We ought to have our hearts trusting solely and fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there any arise like unto thee." This was the wisest man that ever lived, save the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Verse 13, "And I also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Do you reckon that that had any effect on him? Do you reckon somewhere down the line his heart departed from the Lord and he began to trust in himself? You reckon that could have happened? You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. "There's not a just man upon the earth," Solomon said, "that doeth good and sinneth not." We're all susceptible. We can all be tempted when we're leaning to our own understanding, when we're making other things in our life pivotal, when they're the biggest part of our lives. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says in verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto these the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. The Lord had said, don't go into these nations, because they will pollute you and they will corrupt you. They will bring in their false gods and you will serve their false gods. You shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Don't think for one minute that there isn't other things in this life that can turn your heart away from the only true and living God. It's not just wives. You know, Solomon had a lot of fame, did he not? They come from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He had to be lifted up in pride, no doubt, at times. Hard thing to hold down when everybody in the world wants to come hear you speak. He had all these wives. They came in that way, and they distracted him and carried him away, and he began to bring in false gods and worship in high places. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. The heart is deceitful above all things. Friends, when the Bible talks about our flesh, the war that goes on with our spirit, it's talking about the things that distract us from God, that carry us away. We're told that a man who's cursed by trusting in another man or himself is a man who trusts in his own strength, a man whose heart has departed from the Lord. And it's happened in more cases than not, not just with Solomon. He was a great patriarch of the Bible. Three of the books in the Bible were written by Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. But he was just as susceptible to these things as you and I have been. And it's something that we need to be aware of and we need to understand. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try to support yourself and hold yourself up by your own strength, because you're going to fall. Somewhere down the line, you're going to fall. Now, the Bible tells us, for the child of God will never fall into the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we're trusting in ourselves or someone else, we're going to end up out there someday, somewhere, living in that parched, dry land, because we put our trust in ourselves or someone else and not in God. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. We need to leave this place today and we need to ask ourselves this question. Are we acknowledging God in every part and every instant of our life? I know that I haven't, and I know that I need to. Do you acknowledge him about your workplace and about the situations that go on there? Do you acknowledge him about the situation in your family? I mean, do we pray enough? Do we engage in meditation with the Lord enough? Do we read his word enough? All these things come into place when we put our trust in the Lord. He says, acknowledge him in all thy ways. And then he gives us a promise. He shall direct your steps. Not that he might. Not that if you do this or do that, one day you can call him up and he'll get it right with you. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Trust him with all your heart, and he's given you a promise. God, who has never broken a promise, has given you a promise. He shall direct your steps. Isn't that amazing? If we'll trust in him with all our heart and we'll quit trying to lean on our own strength and our own understanding, God has promised that if you'll acknowledge him in every part of your life, he shall direct your steps. Who more would you want directing your steps in this life than the Lord God of heaven? The omnipotent God who knows what lies ahead in your life, who knows what storms are coming your way. Because if you're not in a storm today, there's one out there coming for you. Unfortunately, that's just part of life. That's the journey we have here in this earth. But it's by through God and with God and trusting in the Lord with all our heart that we get through those. And he delivers us by his delivering power, or he gives us the grace to sustain us, as he did Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But we need to trust in the Lord and not ourselves. And he's promised to direct our steps. May God bless you. It's my prayer this morning. If